The Joe Lacy Show is on, in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we'll be talking nothing but NBA basketball per your request. You military folks out there look forward to this July 4th special every year, and you ask for basketball, and we deliver. Coming up later, J.A. Sherman and I will talk a little Thunder hoops. David Ramil will be here to talk a little Miami Heat hoops. But up first, to talk a little San Antonio Spurs hoops, please welcome from PoundingTheRock.com, J.R. Wilco is in the house. J.R., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day to you as well. And a big shout out to the troops. We're here for you. We'll entertain you for the next 55 minutes, and I promise you it will be very entertaining. I won't call anyone a scrub today. Well, maybe I will, but we'll see, you know. It's fun when you can just do those things, you know. You can get a reaction just by saying one word. It's amazing, man. But anyhow, I got to tell you, I was stunned yesterday when I opened up the computer and I saw that Manu Ginobili had a stress fracture. Now, I wasn't stunned by that because stress fractures are very common in sport. Mm. I wasn't even stunned by the fact that he probably didn't even know he had it. But it just seems to me, a guy with a broken leg can dunk on the whole Miami Heat team at age 38. Oh my!
Well, not too much. So he was only 36 when that happened, and he won't be 37 until the end of this month. But aside from that, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, man. He showed those. Well, you know, I guess the main guy he was dunking on one of the main guys he was dunking on was Ray Allen. They kind of collided before Manu took off. But I was looking at that play again this week, and it doesn't really look like he jumps so much as he just continues to glide, but suddenly in an upward direction. I mean, it's just that play is so smooth, and he just unleashes that dunk, which, you know, I think he unleashed it from someplace in 2005 probably.
More like from 2012. he was exercising some demons with that dunk. That was amazing. You know, I'm not the biggest Manu Ginobili fan, as you know. But honest to goodness, that was fantastic dunk, though. I wanted to talk about it right after it happened, but it was kind of it never came up. But that was a fantastic dunk. And 36, 38, it's all the same when you're that age. But dunking on Judas Shuttlesworth like that, God bless you, Manny. God bless you.
So I was in the arena when that happened, and it was one of those weird things that the crowd just kind of just at first responded like they'd been stunned, and then they got really loud, and then every single thing that happened after that, and that was game five, you know, but everything that happened after that just got a bigger and bigger roar out of the crowd. I've never heard a crowd ramp up in the middle of a defensive stand that was that loud, that wasn't at the end of the game. Generally, those okay guys really play good defense. You know, when the crowd does that and just really starts roaring, it's usually like right at the end of the game when it's a tight game and it means a whole lot. But they just went into, you know, full on rocket afterburner mode at that point. It was that dunk really set them off. It was cool.
Who didn't? I mean, that was a pretty good dunk. I mean, when you think about it,
yeah,
he dunked on their whole damn team, and it was kind of funny to watch.
Nobody was really guarding him, but everyone was like right around him, and Bosch came the closest to actually getting there, but. I mean, when you watch that play, you see him at half court go, "Oh, hey, look, there's an angle there," and just throws it into that other gear. Yeah, it was just gorgeous. We could talk about that for the whole time.
We may just do that because it'll keep me out of trouble this way. But but honestly, When you think about it, it was pretty good. You know, it's unfortunate that Bosch was the one that ends up being on the poster because it really wasn't his problem. You know, that was the whole funny part of it all. He just went up there and went, boom, see ya. But now, honest to goodness, though, let's get back to the reality of this situation.
Oh,
What
yeah,
is
well.
the update of this? Because once a stress fracture is revealed,
Yeah.
that becomes dicey then.
Well, this is not the exact same injury that he had that put him out in 2008 and 2009. You know, he had his left ankle at the end of 2008 when they were trying to repeat and they wound up losing to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers went on to play the Celtics that year. And then the very next year he had the exact same thing in his right ankle. So that was 2 years in a row that the Spurs didn't have Manu in the playoffs. It was just death to those teams. So it's not the exact same injury. This is actually in his fibula, I understand, and that's it's not a weight-bearing bone. I'm not sure whether it's in the joint area or whether it's further up the bone. But the first thing that came out was that the physical had revealed the stress fracture, and they expected a 2 month recovery period. But the next thing that came out later on that day, as we were sitting here, we'd been kind of prepped for an announcement from Manu, was that he tweeted that he wasn't going to make a decision about not playing for the Argentina national team in the World Cup, which he had already agreed to do. He wasn't going to make a decision about it until he saw the way that he had healed in the first 20 days. Now, stress fractures don't heal in 20 days. It's a 2 to 3 month recovery period. But he is going to get a second opinion, and he's leaving the door open to play for the Argentina national team in the FIBA World Cup that they're playing this summer. So this does not make Spurs fans very happy. It makes it like holds off on Argentina fans, but you have to take Manu whole cloth, right? You can't carve him up, you can't trim anything off. He is who he is, and seems like every part of him contains the whole, right? The same Manu that won't listen to his body and will play through the finals and score, 14 points a game, 4 assists a game, shoot almost 40% from 3 point, and help the Spurs get their fifth championship. The same Manu that won't listen to his body in the finals can't be turned off. There's no off switch to that part of him, and so he wants to try and play for Argentina this summer, and he's not closing the door on that possibility yet, which makes everybody really nervous. It's bad enough that he was going to play anyway. You know, is when I say bad, I mean like it makes everyone, all Spurs fans, get nervous about this. It's bad enough anyway because he wasn't going to be fully rested coming into this final year, which is probably going to be the end of everything. And, there's only Tiago Splitter has a contract passed. Patty Mills doesn't count yet because the July moratorium hasn't passed, so that he hasn't really signed it. So only Tiago Splitter is signed past this coming year. This coming year is it. Maybe Duncan's last, probably Ginobili's last, and everybody wants him rested and healthy coming into this season. And with him being ready to play when everybody thought he was healthy, that's one thing. To come out and to cut short a recovery period and go and play for the national team and then put an NBA season on the back end of that, oof, as you would say, homarón.
Yeah, you know what, though? In his defense, it is his last roundup. He's not going to play at that level again. Maybe he plays for Argentina as a player coach, maybe. But these things are big for these guys. You know, that's really where their dreams are. It's not to play in the NBA, it's to play for the national team and win a championship with them. A gold medal, primarily, the world championship as the secondary focus. So I understand that. I also understand that he didn't probably even know he got hurt. He probably just figured he was getting old. His legs are bothering him. and it is what it is. But that's why they do post season physicals. Excuse me. Because
that's
they
why
have
they do
to
it.
For the insurance companies. These guys are all hurt at the end of the season. By mid-season, they're all hurt. Every one of them are hurt. It's not humanly possible to play a professional sport for a half a season, three-fourths of a season, or an entire season without getting something wrong with you. So I understand all that. If he wants to play, let him play. He's going to be 37, excuse me, for making him a year older. But honestly, let him do his thing. I wouldn't be nervous about him. He's going to play even less next year for the Spurs. And, well, it is what it is. You know, let him go do his thing. And if he gets hurt again, but here's the thing, though, JR, he's not going to play. He's not going to, if he has a stress fracture in his fibula, he's not going to be playing for Argentina in September anyway.
Yeah, you would expect that he wouldn't. And at this point, you know, the public really responds to these players when they don't play for the Argentine national team. I mean, it's a big deal. And Manu has essentially had to be he's had to be injured for any of those seasons that he hasn't played for them. And even when he did, even at the end of 2008, he tried to come back from that stress fracture in his ankle that limited him again in that Lakers series in 2008. He tried to come back from that and play in the Olympics, and he couldn't. His ankle was swelled up between 2 and 3 times its normal size while he was doing that too. So it's just, I mean, it's incredible what he's capable of enduring going into that. And he can't stop himself, man. I mean, it's a really big deal. But I know that the public responds to these guys very positively when they play, very negatively when they don't play. And I think it's pretty much only an injury that could make him not play, because he cares a lot about the team and also about the public. And my guess is that there could be a little PR to this. There could be a little bit of, yeah, Pop, I know there's no way I'm going to play, but I gotta at least make it look like I'm thinking about it, because, I want everyone to know just how much this means to me, and I don't want them to misread. So it's possible that that's in there too, but I just really want him to rest the whole summer. I mean, all Spurs fans, they just want a fresh and healthy Ginobili next year.
Yeah, it's the last roundup, really, and you want to see him fresh and healthy. But yeah, you mentioned something that's very important that maybe people on the outside of America don't understand, is that these guys have to go home, and if they don't play for the national team. And they kind of look like non-patriots. Like, for example, in a war, if you bail on your country, you look like a traitor. You look like a chicken. And Argentinians are very proud people. I know plenty of them from tennis. And when they get the call to play for their country, they go and do it. Not just because, not because they want to necessarily, but because they really don't have much of a choice. And I think that's something that people overlook or don't understand. And I get it. I mean, I get it, because I work with international people every day. I get it. I've been around international players for 31 years. And I can tell you, it's very strong, that pull, that local pull. And I think what you're going to see is maybe that PR move was right. Maybe that's exactly what it was. Is, hey, you know what? We're going to tell them we can try. And then I don't look like a chicken when I don't succeed. All right, you know what? We got about 1 minute. Patty right. Mills, now he's on the shelf with a rotator cuff issue. And here's this is the thing, though. This is what bothers me, is that guy is one of he got paid, okay? He got 3 years, $12 million. Thank God that San Antonio Spurs are a good organization and would do that. But you have to wonder, and we've got 30 seconds, JR.
All right.
You have to wonder, had that not happened, how much he would have gotten on the open market.
Well, it's a big question that we'll fortunately never have to find out, because the Spurs didn't have to bid against anybody. And as soon as it was revealed, and apparently he was playing through this pain during the playoffs, They knew something was up, but you couldn't tell it from his play, and you definitely couldn't tell it from his fist pumps that he made after his threes, because those were all right-handed. I went back and looked at him. So I'm glad, very glad that he's going to be with the team, and very glad he's under contract and that he's going to keep on playing for the Spurs.
Yes, but I'm still, you know what, I wanted to see him get the ultimate cash, because if anyone deserved it this year, it's that young fella. Anyway, good stuff today. Great stuff today, JR. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks as always. Enjoyed it.
All right, that was JR Wilco. You can find him at poundingtherock.com. Coming up next, David Ramil and I will talk Miami Heat hoops, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well, I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at BrewtownSports.podomatic.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to philnasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at draftstreet.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We want to send a big shout out to you folks out there in our United States Armed Forces. We're really happy to be here on the 4th of July. I hope your day goes well. And I hope you enjoy our all-NBA show. I have to tell you, the Miami Heat, there's never a dull moment around there, except it's very boring right now. And joining me to talk all about the Miami Heat, please welcome from HotHotHoops.com, David Ramil is in the house. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Phil. It's it is kind of a calm time, but it's also the calm before the storm. So it's very exciting for those of us that are following the Heat closely. So it's a lot going on, even as nothing is making major news yet.
Exactly, the calm before the storm, because there probably will be a storm, but it won't be as bad as what most people think it will be, right?
Well, it's hard to say. I think right now everybody's just kind of waiting on LeBron. As the best player in the game, the most important player, he's kind of defining the terms. It's one of the few opportunities that players really have to call the shots. And so he's taking his time making his decision 2.0, as they call it. So we'll see what happens. There should be some news probably breaking over the next few days. But for now, I think he's just settling in, taking meetings with other teams, and we'll see what happens.
Well, he's not taking him. His agent is, because he's off fishing with his kids, which to him is more important. If you had the chance to see a video, there's a video out there of LeBron James fishing with his son, and his son caught a tuna fish, and you don't know who was more excited, LeBron or his kid. But either way, that's the way it should be, and he's doing things completely different than the last time. I think he learned from it. He's not falling for the woo-woo-woo stuff anymore. And he's going to make a good decision. And to be honest with you, he's going to stay with the Heat.
Well, that seems to be the case. Some people have come up with some different reports. There's been so many different, pieces of information that have been, quote unquote, broken over the last few days, ever since the free agency period began. First of all, whether or not he was taking meetings, as you pointed out, it is his agent only that's taking meetings with teams like Phoenix, Houston, the Lakers, et cetera, even Cleveland, I think. Nobody knows what's going to happen at this point. I tend to think that he's going to come back to Miami, but the discussion that he'll take the max contract, if that's in fact the case, there's a lot of different sides to it. One, if that is the case, then it limits what Miami can do as far as bringing in the complementary pieces that are necessary for Miami to be title contenders next year. As Wade's health has declined, as Chris Bosh is no longer the strong primary offensive player that he was in Toronto, it became clear against the San Antonio Spurs they needed to bolster that bench with a couple of players, mostly defensively, maybe a couple of guys that could knock those long-range jumpers down as the Heat practices their spacing concept on the open floor. So there needs to be additions to the team, but if LeBron's taking that max contract, that becomes a little difficult to do so. That Pat Riley's hands are tied, so to speak. But I've seen a lot of reports also that a lot of the agents that represent players for the NBA, they're kind of upset about the fact that players have to take, less than maximum contracts because they don't get the kind of cut that they want. And so they're seeing the issue of whether or not these agents are the ones putting out this information out there regarding who should get the max contract, et cetera. So there's a lot of subterfuge going on, as well there should be when it comes to something as secretive as the NBA free agency period.
Yeah, I agree with you. The agents want to get paid. I don't know. They get quite a bit as it is, and they have more than one client usually. But I don't see how LeBron is going to take the full ride. He knows how important it is to build a team around him. He also knows that the only ones that can give him that money would be the Heat. And unfortunately, that would destroy the Heat. He's not going to do that. And it's already been said, I guess, it depends on who you believe, that Bosh and Wade are going to take considerably less, which I can't really see them doing. I just don't see him leaving. I think that if he does, he's going to tarnish his legacy like no other player ever, because he's just going to look like a guy who could never keep a team together and win. And I think he recognizes that too. But again, like you say, you never know. But I can't see him playing in LA, and I can't see him playing in Phoenix. I can't see him playing in Houston. I can't see him playing with Dwight Howard. Can you?
The reality is I think he could play with anybody at this point. I mean, whether or not it's logistical, his game is so adaptive. It's so much, based on creating opportunities for others, even as he can make his own shots for himself. I think he's skilled enough that he could play with other guys. I mean, James Harden, I think, would be a problem as far as Houston's concerned, because he's so ball dominant. He's so inefficient in his shot taking that I don't think it would necessarily fit. You know, there's been some talk about L.A. being an option. You know, again, I don't see that one happening as much because of Kobe's contract. It's so burdensome that even if they were able to bring in other complementary players, I don't think there'd be a stronger team there than what he's leaving behind in Miami. So you're right. I mean, Miami seems the best fit for him. He could play anywhere. He could make them title contenders almost immediately. But I think the best place for him is still Miami.
Sure, it is, for a lot of reasons. I agree with you completely. Now, Shabazz Napier was drafted by the Heat, and a listener wanted to know what you think the future of Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers is now that the Heat have Napier.
Well, I think Cole, you know, he's still under contract. It's on the last year of his rookie contract. I think we saw how limited Cole's game is, although I think Heat officials have gone publicly and said that there is potential for him to continue to grow. And we've seen that. His shot has expanded a little bit since he came into the league. So there is room for growth for him. I think if things stay the way they are, obviously Cole would be the starter and Napier would come in off the bench. As far as Mario is concerned, it's harder to say because he's still a free agent. So we've seen some of the other mid-tier level players getting some astronomical contracts. You know, Avery Bradley in Boston, Jody Meeks with Detroit. These are mid-level guys that, I mean, that's being favorable. I don't even know that they're mid-level, and they're still getting these pretty astronomically high contracts. So you look at Mario Chalmers, who's a proven entity. He might be, for whatever reason, priced out of the Heat's range. I think we might be done with the Chalmers era in South Florida. So that leaves us with Norris Cole, who would probably be the starter at this point, and Shabazz Napier. Now, Napier's a pretty solid player in that he's a four-year player at UConn. He has national championship experience. He's proven in the big game level. He won a championship there. So he does things very well. He's not the most athletic guy, but he's kind of what's the word I'm looking for? He's kind of deceptive in his athleticism. He's not the fastest or the strongest guy, but he can get to the hoop. He's got a good floater. He uses the pick and roll, which is an NBA staple, extremely well. And he shoots for very good from long range. So he's going to be an NBA player and probably a pretty solid one. I also see that the Heat will probably bring in another point guard to bolster that core. I'm looking at probably, since Kyle Lowry re-signed or has agreed to a contract in Toronto, I think you have to go somewhere below that. And I'm looking at Jameer Nelson from Orlando as being a very good option. I know there's been some talk that Pat Riley passed him up in the 2004 draft so he could pick Darrell Wright out of high school. And that was a mistake that always stuck with him. And I think he kind of wants to make it up to a proven player like Nelson, who has never achieved the championship, went to the finals with the Orlando Magic, but he's still a steady player. He runs the pick and roll very well. He also shoots from range. So you can bring in a guy like Nelson on a cheap contract. He'll be a stopgap measure just until either Napier or Cole steps up and either one of them takes over the starting role.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. I like the word that you use for Napier, deceptive. I like that word. I'll tell you what he's not, is clever. Anyone who plays on a big-time college program and can't find snacks after midnight isn't very clever. There's no question about that. That was a big story there, too. We talked about this here a few weeks ago. I won't bring that back up other than to say I don't think he's that clever. And I don't think Norris Cole's going to wind up the starter. Jameer Nelson, you know what? That's a good call right there, David. That's a good call. I like Jameer Nelson. He's been languishing in mediocrity for years over there in Orlando. Yeah. And I thought he had a pretty decent first half of the season. I think he had some nagging injuries. I think you put him on the floor with guys like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and whoever else they throw out there, and I think they're going to be a pretty good little unit. That's what I would think. That would be a very good call, and Napier can kind of find his way in the NBA, kind of watching a veteran like Jameer Nelson. And I agree with you, too. I think the Mario Chalmers era is over, but I'm amazed at the money that they're throwing at some of these guys, man. I really am. I'm just stunned. And when I look at some of these things, I have to look two, three times to make sure I saw what I saw, because there's no way in hell I would pay for that much money for these guys on my fantasy draft, let alone in reality.
Yeah. I know there's been some talk that I guess the owners are, you know, looking to, you know, have a salary cap increase over the next few years as TV revenue continues to generate more funds there. And I guess when the current, you know, collective bargaining agreement expires in 2017, that'll be a chance to redo everything that's been done over the last couple of years. And it seems like bad business to me when you're paying a guy like Meeks as much money as you are. He wasn't, you know, he was a solid player in LA, but he's not, you know, he's not great by any stretch of the imagination. They've got enough cap problems there over with, you know, the Pistons. I'm a little surprised that they broke the bank for him. You know, you look at Washington overpaying for Marcin Gortat. Yeah, he's solid offensively. He's a good rim protector, but the kind of contracts they're throwing out there this past season, it's ridiculous. I mean, of course, a guy like LeBron's going to feel underpaid when you see, you know, a guy like Gortat making $15 million a year. That's ridiculous.
Look at Tim Duncan. I bet you he's crying in his soup when he sees this. How is it possible that an Avery Bradley can make more money than Tim Duncan? It just doesn't make sense. But you're right. They want to make the cap grow higher. And then when they bust it out, they're going to have another lockout. And NBA fans are going to get screwed again because – like you said, it's all big business, and unfortunately, big business and fans don't usually mix well together, and that's too bad. Now, Chris Bosch, a listener, wanted to know, David, if LeBron takes his talents elsewhere, is it time to trade Chris Bosch if they even sign him? And that's the thing, too. If LeBron decides to go somewhere else, what's to say Bosch is going to come back? He's a free agent now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... I'd have to think that Bosch would stay regardless of LeBron's plans. I know that it would be easier for him, but he strikes me as being the kind of guy who's probably much more content. I don't think his legacy has as lasting an impact as say LeBron's. He's not trying to get into that, you know, quote unquote Mount Rushmore of players for NBA history like LeBron James is. And so I don't think, you know, he's got two championships on his resume. He's a successful player. He's a Hall of Fame player at this point. If LeBron left, I would say that Chris Bosh would, you know, re-sign with Miami, and no, he would definitely not be traded. I don't see any reason why Miami would give up on Chris Bosh. The fans love him. He's solid. He loves the community. He's grown here. His family has grown here. On a personal and professional level, he's become the player he always wanted to be in Toronto, become the person he's always wanted to be. And so I think he's happy here, and there's no way I see him leaving. I mean, it was realistic for him to take a pay cut in order to re-sign with or without LeBron. If LeBron left, I'd see that he definitely comes back to Miami, and he would probably be the primary offensive option for the Heat because of Dwayne Wade's nagging injuries, the fact that he can't, you know, play 82 regular season games anymore. You would have a team built around Bosch, and that's not a bad place to be if you're Miami. And then you would look at other complementary players, maybe a Luol Deng, a Trevor Ariza, you know, other guys like that could come in, maybe Paul Gasol, although I doubt that Gasol would join a Miami team without LeBron. But you'd have Chris as your focal point, and that's a good start.
Well, you brought up something good there. Chris Bosch, he's a hell of a human being off the floor, that's for sure. You know, when you look at the Heat, and you look at the Spurs, and I know there's a lot of bad blood there now, but you've got some pretty good human beings on both those teams. It's the organization. You know what? When you're part of a family and they care about you, it kind of reflects in who you are. And I think that Chris Bosh will stay. P gets such a bad rap because he gives people funny looks on the court, and then they make fun of him in these Facebook memes or whatever. Yeah. He's not anything like who you think he is. He's a tremendous guy. If you've ever heard him on the radio or being interviewed, you will know that he's probably 10 times more intelligent than most people walking on the planet. And we've got 30 seconds left. What do you think? Give me your best guess. What's it going to take to sign LeBron?
I think he comes back for close to 18 to 20 million, somewhere in that range. I think Chris takes a cut at 15. Wade takes a cut at 12, and I think they wind up re-signing for a long-term deal of maybe 4 or 5 years. And then they bolster their team with some veterans, maybe Carlos Boozer, who gets waived in Chicago. And the big three will be, you know, they'll be just fine next year. It'll be a strong team. I mean, they were, you know, four games out in the finals. They could have won it again this year, and they're still a very solid team as long as the big three's in place.
Awesome stuff today, David. Thanks for being on the show with me.
You got it, Phil.
All right, that was David Ramil. You can find him at hothoothoops.com. He's here every week, and we're glad to have him. Coming up next, J.A. Sherman and I will wrap up this amazing 4th of July special. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town of Reign of Terror.
After these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason show.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com. Or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please! Just shut up! I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time! Don't you ever just shut up!
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up an amazing day of NBA talk, and we want to send a big shout out to those of you listening on Armed Forces Radio, happy 4th of July. We've given you what you want, like we always do. And we want to thank you for your fantastic service to our country. No matter where you are or what branch of the military you serve in, we're very happy that you are doing what you are doing for us. Anyhow, boy, Thabo Sefolosha has signed with the Hawks. Paul Gasol may end up with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And joining me to talk all about that and more, please welcome from WelcomeToLoudCity.com, J.A. Sherman is in the house. J.A., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil, great to be here. We're looking at what's going on in this free agency season, and it's just kind of nuts. The Thunder have always been quiet during this time of the year, but they're shaking some trees a little bit, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we've lost one guy. Well, we've lost a couple guys now. We've lost Derek Fisher to retirement. He's now the Knicks coach. And now we just lost Thabo Sefolosha, the starting two guard, to the Atlanta Hawks. So, yeah, things are changing.
Things are definitely changing. Now, Thabo Sefolosha was a big part of the success of the Thunder, at least for most of his Thunder career. How will he be viewed from the Thunder perspective?
I think he will be remembered favorably because he was a really good team player. He was good in the locker room. He had good relationships with his teammates. He never made waves or anything like that, even when people were a little bit critical of him, particularly on his offensive game. And the players defended him, and he did make an impact. He did make a difference on that team. He was known as a defensive guard and was able to guard some of the best two guards and small forwards in the NBA. He always had a really good success rate against guys like Kobe Bryant. He was able to check LeBron James from time to time. And so I think Thunder fans will look back and say, you know, for those 6 years that he was in Oklahoma City, he definitely put himself out there and he helped the team win games. And I don't think that the relatively weak playoff experience that he had this past season will be much of a blemish on him.
Nor should it be. You know, the guy was battling a leg injury for probably half the season. You know, a lot of people say that he wasn't a very good shooter. I don't think that's the case. I just think he lacks the confidence. And when you're the fourth option on a basketball team, you know, you're not going to get to jack up enough jumpers to get into a rhythm. And I think that's where he is more effective. If you remember at the beginning of the season, he was pretty hot and people were going, wow.
Yeah. And it looked like the team was trying to make a conscious effort to get him opportunities to score. And I think it was just a confluence of things this past season. Yeah, he missed a bunch of games because of injury. His shot kind of betrayed him midway through the season. His defense slipped a little bit at times. And just over the course of it, he put kind of a weak campaign together as he was going into his free agency. And so I think it would have made it difficult for the Thunder to figure out a way to keep him at the number that he probably wanted. And props to the Atlanta Hawks. They gave him what I think is a pretty good contract, even given his relatively weak season. He's got $12 million over 3 years. I think that's $4 million a year is a good number for him. And I hope that he regains his shooting form. I hope that he has his confidence restored now that he's considered part of the Hawks' future. And, you know, and I'm certainly not going to have any negative memories of him. If anything, the one thing that we're always going to remember for Thabo is that amazing Game 3 in 2012 in the Western Conference Finals, where the Thunder down 0-2 in that series, they completely upended the entire series, and a big part of it was Sefolosha and his defense on Tony Parker, and it completely changed the complexion of that series, and the Thunder ran off 4 games in a row and made it to the finals. So I think that's the way that most Thunder fans will remember him.
As well they should. I think he's going to flourish in Atlanta. It'll be the first time he's actually been in an offensive system, and that should help him. Because we all know that the Thunder doesn't run anything other than RW0, chuck it up to the left. Kevin Durant, chuck it to the right. Chuck, chuck, chuck. Rebound surge. Boom. Yeah. Booyah. And then play good defense. And that's what they do. And hope for, and push for turnovers. But he will do well with the Hawks. I'm not so sure he's going to start there. But it doesn't matter. He'll come off the bench. He'll do whatever. He's a team player, as you noted. And it's a good signing for the Hawks. And it should be a sad day for Thunder fans. I was reading in a couple places where Thunder fans were happy that he is gone. And I'm thinking this is just the naivety of the fan base. It's a young fan base. And they don't realize how special he is. And that's not a knock against anyone, but honest to goodness, Acephalosha is valuable. I knew he would sign and sign early. I was surprised it was the Hawks. But either way, good luck to you, Thabo Acephalosha. And maybe we'll talk about you again at some point next year if you do anything, because we'll probably talk some Hawks hoops next season. Now, big rumor. Paul Gasol coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder. What is the bottom line with that?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting story because after LeBron James and then Carmelo, he's probably the biggest free agent out there, I would say, and he's still doing really well even in his 30s now. If you might think that because the Lakers struggled a lot in the last two seasons that his game might have regressed, he did miss some games, but if you look at his PER, you look at his per 36 minute performance, his numbers are still really strong. And so he's out there, and there are a couple teams that are interested. The Lakers, of course, would like to re-sign him, although I don't really know why he would be part of their future, because that team is in desperate need of an overhaul. The other team that is in contention for his services would be the Chicago Bulls. I think they've also been noted as one of the teams that can make a real play for him, and the addition of him alongside Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose would make a fearsome team. But he makes a whole lot of sense for the Thunder. And in case your listeners weren't aware, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook actually went to L.A., and they made their sales pitch to him. And this is something that Thunder fans have not seen from their players in the past. And I think they were getting a little bit discouraged because it seems like free agency periods would come and go. The signing or the trade deadline would come and go. And it seemed like the Thunder were not making the kind of adjustments they needed to get over the hump. And especially after a somewhat anemic draft, I think fans were really starting to question what the front office was trying to do. And so to finally see that, yes, they did make phone calls to guys like Pau Gasol and Mike Miller and Anthony Morrow, and that they're serious about patching things up and making things better where they have weakness, that's a good sign. And then to see their players, especially their two best players, go out to Pau Gasol and say, hey, we need you, I think that carries weight with players to know that not only do they feel like they're wanted, which inflates their monetary value, of course, but also to know that guys who are very successful in Durant and Westbrook see a guy like Gasol and say, you know, your experience and your leadership and your skill set would really help us to be able to get past these final couple of hurdles. And I personally would love it, because one of the things that the Thunder really long for, aside from just better shooting on the perimeter, is a good passing player, whether it's at the forward or the center position, that just understands how to move the ball, how to create good spacing. If you look at Powell, you look at his brother Marcus Sol, they're both very good at that. Tim Duncan, of course, is another great passer. Teams that have that kind of ball movement in their offense, it makes everything easier. And I think Durant and Russell Westbrook realized after just watching the Spurs offense just obliterate everybody that they need something like that. And so I'm excited to see them pursuing Gasol. The question, of course, is do they have the money to pay for his contract? He made $19 million last year. And he said that he was willing to take a pay cut, but my goodness, that would be quite a shave to go from $19 million down to about what the Thunder can offer him, which is I think about $6.6 million. That would be a huge reduction in his compensation. And so the question is, do the Thunder just try to sign him for the mid-level exception? Or do they try and clear some cap space with a sign and trade involving someone like Kendrick Perkins to the Lakers, maybe throw an asset or two at them and see if that'll get them to sign and trade Pau Gasol? So the reporters who matter, like guys like Mark Stein, have noted that the Thunder are in the front running. But the big question is, can the Thunder close the deal? And so we wait and see.
Pitching woo. That's what these guys are doing. Pitching woo. They pursue these guys like they're girls. I don't understand the whole thing. You know what? How you show appreciation is paying them freaking guys. You know what? And here's the deal. Paul Gasol is not going to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder for $13 million less.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much, I think.
He might be in the front running. The front runner is Los Angeles Lakers, where he likes to be. I honestly don't see him going there. You know what? Can you honestly see a player who's played for Phil Jackson go play for Scott Brooks?
Yeah, that's a bit of a push. Although I don't know how he'd feel about playing for his old teammate, Derek Fisher. I mean, that would be a little weird, too.
He's not going to go to the New York Knicks either, because those guys are never going to win anything again.
Yeah.
Never. Never. Carmelo, he needs to take his skinny behind somewhere else, his ball-hogging butt somewhere else. Go far away, Carmelo. Stay away. If you looked at my Facebook page today, you'll see I was brandishing my Knicks shorts.
Yep.
Mine is the top. See, the top came with it. It was a Carmelo Anthony jersey, J.A. Uh-huh. And I told him to keep that, take it, use it to clean out the toilet, whatever you wish. I'll pay a few euros less, and I just take the shorts. Thank you very much. I don't want to. And I did that the day he opted out. You know, I was getting a haircut. Yeah. I saw those shorts. I said, I need a pair of blue shorts. Don't tell nobody I bought them the other day, though. I'm only kidding. Anyway, but honestly, I don't see Paul Gasol coming over there. For $13.5 million less, I don't care how much woo they pitched. The bottom line is that's not even half of what he was used to getting. And he can get the full Monty from the Lakers. He can get most of the Monty from just about anyone else. And I think that's one of the biggest problems the Thunder has, is they can't sign big guys. But then again, they can't even keep the ones that they bring up. And that's always going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that's why they have to dedicate so much of what they're about into the culture, so that players want to come to Oklahoma City. And they haven't broken through that ceiling quite yet. They did a little bit with Caron Butler last year, where he chose the Thunder over the Heat. And so we're starting to see a little bit of an inflection point. But players aren't going to just go to Oklahoma City because of just the small town culture or anything like that. They need to know that they're going to be treated like they want to be treated, which in Gasol's case is going to be like one of the top two or three big men in the NBA. And so I think if the Thunder could figure out a way to move Kendrick Perkins and clear up a little bit more, I mean, they could potentially offer Gasol like $12 million. I mean, that's not bad. I think that's probably what his market value is anyway. He's definitely not worth 19 anymore, but I think probably like the 12 to 13 for over 3 years, that's probably more realistic. And I think the Thunder could potentially get to that point if they made the right moves, but it's tough, you know, and certainly you don't want to hang your own players out to dry and then lose the chase. So it's a risky game. And that's why the front office is where they are, because they're able to make these kinds of calls. And so we just hope, and we hope that they can put together a package that's worthwhile. And if they don't make it, that's okay. But it's good to know that they're trying.
Well, absolutely. They're trying, and that's nice to see, but they don't have the financial means to back it up. And that's a pity. It really is. And I got to tell you, this was great stuff today. J.A., thanks for being on the show with me.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That was J.A. Sherman. You can find him over at welcometoloudcity.com. And speaking of great packages, that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all the guys for being here with me today and entertain you fine people out there who are serving our country each and every day. We appreciate you. We respect you. And we all want you to come back safe. We'll be back on Tuesday, and when we do, we'll talk a little Portland Trailblazers hoops, a little New York Mets baseball, and of course, the Milwaukee Brewers baseball. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly...
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.